and welcome to EY's Fresh Perspectives podcast series. I'm Verity Pope and I'm part of the employer brand team at EY. I'm going to be your host throughout this series of episodes as we dive into our people's experiences working across our EY business areas. At EY, we're always innovating, moving with the changing times and striving to build a better working world. But how do we do that? Well, by bringing in new ideas, brand new talent and of course, fresh perspectives to our business. The world of work has changed so much over the last 18 months, and what we deliver to our clients has too. So this podcast series focuses on some of our key business areas and what they've been delivering recently. We're speaking directly with our people at the heart of their business, and we discuss things like the new model of hybrid working, what they do in their line of work to make an impact to our people, clients and society, and also about our continued culture of belonging at EY. We hope each episode leaves you wanting to find out more about our opportunities, and inspired to build your career at EY. Our audit team pride themselves on offering quality, integrity, exceptional client service, and a wide understanding of industry sectors. So in today's episode, we're chatting with Katie Delamore-Fox, audit partner based in our EY Reading office, and Lorna McNeil, associate partner based in EY Birmingham, on how their teams are working to build a better working world and what the future of audit looks like at EY. Good afternoon, Katie and Lorna. Hi, it's so lovely to speak to you today on our Fresh Perspectives podcast, focusing on audit in assurance. I would love to start with some introductions, if that's okay. Katie, I'll start with you.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Verity. So, Katie Delamore-Fox, I'm an audit partner based in our Reading office. I was promoted up to partner in July of this year. I've been with EY for just over 10 years, actually, having qualified with a mid-tier firm. Outside of work, I live in a boarding house. I've got a little boy who's 4, Noah. So life is very busy at the minute, actually.
Amazing. Yeah, I would love to hear later on about hybrid working and what that looks like with Noah. And Lorna, about yourself.
So I joined EY in 1996 as a graduate, so an awfully long time ago. I was promoted to associate partner in 2007 and continued to work in the Birmingham office as an associate partner. I have a people role and also a quality role, and in my spare time I have an 11-year-old daughter who I tend to play taxi driver to.
Cool. I think the thing I'd love to start with today, and please do, you know, share as much as you can, is I'd really love to talk to you a bit more about like what your team does in the world of assurance and typically what you do on your day-to-day role.
I think I'd start by saying no day is ever the same. That's one of the things that's kept me in audit for well over 10 years. I really enjoy that aspect of my job, actually. So principally, I'm an audit partner. So day to day, that's with clients now in a remote setting rather than out on site with them, which is what most of my training was. You know, coaching, developing junior people within the business, teaching them what it is to audit companies. And our environment is evolving all of the time. Bayes is definitely adding to that at the moment with the current review ongoing. But outside of that, as a partner in our organisation, there are loads of things that happen day to day. I'm a counsellor to individuals. I'm managing people, agenda, what's our business development strategy? How are we going to grow in the market? What's our quality message at the moment? And what training do we need to run for our people? And I think that's probably the key takeaway for me as a leader in our business. There's a vast majority of things that happen day to day, which are brand new. And it keeps the role very, very exciting.
And Katie, I know you mentioned at the start that you have progressed to partner since being at EY. Can you talk a bit about that path to progression, how that came about for you and the difference now between being a partner and what your role was before?
Yeah, of course. So as I say, I joined 10 years ago as a qualified exec. Coming to EY for mid-tier was daunting. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Getting up to speed with our audit methodology, very different to mid-tier. Learning about our training, support networks, all great aspects of being at EY, but very different. I would say my biggest piece of advice to anyone coming through is jump in, get some new experiences. Don't be afraid of trying something that feels slightly alien. For me, that's been my biggest learning and development, and I think has helped in terms of my acceleration through the process. Also, coaching and support mentoring is really, really important. Having people around you who can help with the visibility and demystifying, if I can use that phrase, the whole process, I think is really, really important. Coming back from maternity leave, which happened for me 3 years ago, was also a big change. You know, learning how to work and manage a family at home, not something I'd had to deal with before. But I think being open and having those conversations with, you know, your counsellor or the people who are there sponsoring you is really key to all of that. The role as a partner is exponentially different to the role I had as a director, even though that's less than 6 months ago. Coming back to some of those key themes I mentioned a moment ago around kind of overall leadership, day-to-day items that come across my inbox, it's incredibly exciting and it is a huge learning curve. But as I say, that's why I would encourage everybody just to dive in. You know, we talk about growth mindset a lot at EY, trying new experiences, being comfortable that you won't know everything first time. That's absolutely fine. But to have the confidence and the courage to take on new challenges, I think is really important.
I love that. I think that's an incredible journey that you've been on, obviously, since mid-tier right through to EY, and it sounds like you've gained a lot of skills, which we'll definitely talk about and touch on later on in the episode. And then Lorna, I guess from your experience, you joined in as a graduate, which means that you learnt the methodologies that Katie was just talking about at EY. Can you talk a bit about that, your path to progression, and how your role has adapted since you've kind of made it to associate partner and the role that you're in now?
So as you said, I joined as a graduate, and again, it's still quite daunting at that point because you're not really sure when you start on your journey what being an auditor is. So actually it takes the first few years before the sort of light bulb goes off and you actually start understanding why we're doing what we're doing. And then I'd echo what Katie said earlier is one of the reasons I stay is you're continually learning. You're learning new things, whether technical or new skills or actually about new businesses. And there's a huge amount you can get involved in across the firm. I also had the opportunity and the flexibilities. I took 6 months unpaid leave after I qualified and went travelling. And then as I progressed up to senior manager, working on, you know, PLCs through to sort of owner-managed businesses, I then had an opportunity to go on secondment to London. And it was a role completely outside audit as we were changing the chairman of the firm and the management team. And I got to work alongside them and how the new firm was going to be structured going forward. So that was a great opportunity to have a break from audit, to also decide what I wanted to focus on when I came back to Birmingham. And then shortly after that, I made associate partner, which I felt was a great achievement. And it was a great opportunity to then start again learning my role as an associate partner and what that means. And as Katie again talks about leading teams and taking on additional responsibility around, you know, people roles and trying to improve engagement and what we can do to make the experience better for our people.
Amazing. And I guess this series is called Fresh Perspectives. Why is it such an exciting time for you to join, for people to join EY, and in particular your area of assurance? Why is it such an exciting time?
Well, maybe if I take that first, I think we are at a real watershed moment in audit at the moment, actually. I don't think, well, definitely not in my time since joining the profession, has there ever been so much focus. You know, we talk a lot about rebuilding societal trust off the back of corporate failures. This impacts everybody in society. You know, there's not a time where I don't meet up with friends or family and you know, they ask me, what is your job? What do you actually do? And our role is incredibly important, you know, rebuilding trust in capital markets, ensuring that there is investment coming into the UK, topics that everybody's aware of, such as Brexit, you know, how has COVID impacted investment into the UK market? Our job is then assuring that the results of companies can be trusted, can be relied upon. That's hugely important. I didn't go into the medical profession. I'm not saving lives in my day-to-day job, but I do feel like we are making a huge difference in society. Also, the opportunities that our profession opens up to people is huge. You know, we are a massive training ground for individuals who either choose to stay in practice or choose to go into the finance profession. And that feels great as well, actually, knowing that the careers people can choose are wide ranging.
And building on that, you know, I mean, ultimately, if you join as a graduate, you know, you're getting a professional qualification that, you know, nobody can take away from you. And the clients that we're winning on, you know, a monthly basis at the moment are, you know, are exciting. And, you know, brand names that people want to learn more about the business and work on. And, you know, and like I mentioned, the size and the variety of our clients is huge, especially in if you're in one of the regional offices, is you can get the opportunity to work on, you know, a really mixed portfolio, which learns you or allows you to figure out where your area of focus wants to be as you grow your career. You know, so do you prefer manufacturing or retail?
Yeah, I think that's a fab point, actually. You know, I always think we're in an incredibly privileged position. What professions get access to so many different companies and get to see behind the scenes and see what's actually going on? You know, I take that very seriously, and I encourage my teams to understand that privileged position we are in. And I think it gives you, again, real insight into different professions and different ways the businesses are managed.
I love that. I completely agree. I've spoken with graduates previously and apprentices, and they talk about how they've learnt about all the big brands that they use on a daily basis. So it must be really exciting to see it all in the back end and see how that works from a client side. Absolutely. And then I guess if you could talk a bit about what your team is like and what your ambition is for your teams. And I know you're both based in regional locations, so I'd be really keen to hear about the ambitions for your team.
I guess from my perspective, I don't think it's just team. I think it's teams. So especially if you're talking clients, you know, I have probably a portfolio of 20 odd clients. So there's different teams and different people and that I'm working on each audit, different client relationships, different client teams. So it's, you know, it's really exciting because I think, again, coming back to whilst it's the role that we do is all about learning, and that keeps me in the profession. The other side of it is around the people that I work with and the, you know, and the clients and the relationships you build. It has to be, you know, you have to like working with people. And especially looking at the hybrid working model and us moving back to being on client sites, you know, it's really exciting times because actually I've missed that engagement of sitting in a room with my team and having that opportunity to work together, you know, to deliver that audit.
Yeah, I would echo that point, actually. When I think about being a leader in our business, we are a people business, and the happiness, the development of our people is absolutely paramount, I think, to me and our wider leadership team. What I have loved, actually, since being at EY, I've always been based in Reading, but I've worked across a number of regional jobs and London jobs. I think the sense of teaming and almost like a family environment that you get in Reading is absolutely fundamental. That's one of the reasons I've stayed. I love the ability to work across diverse teams, to work with different people on a daily basis, to learn from other people. And I take very seriously now as a partner in Reading, you know, what's the experiences of everybody in our department, of the entire team? And that's not about imposing a view down. That's about listening and getting close to the people in the office and understanding what their lived experiences are. Because I've learned a lot over time. You learn a lot just by talking to people. And Lorna talked about coming back to the office. The last 18 months, gosh, for everybody have been a massive challenge. But for me, as an innate expressive, not being with teams has been a huge disadvantage, I think. So I am hugely excited about our return to the office and what that means for people's experiences of being in audit. Because you learn a lot through osmosis, just being in the room, listening to the conversations that are happening within the audit team with the client, And I think it's a key part of what I really enjoyed about my training, and that I hope will come back into the reality for a number of our grads, school leavers.
And I think we learn from our teams. So coming back to this, sort of the diverse background, I mean, in Birmingham, you have people from, you know, all backgrounds across the UK, but actually we have people from Russia, Pakistan, India, South Africa, Nigeria, the US, and all of that. Everyone's got different experiences, and you learn from each other. And it makes it really interesting just to do your day-to-day job by having that extra factor.
Amazing. And then you have both talked about obviously working on client site or working with clients. Assurance audit is very client-centric. How has the work that you've been doing with clients either changed or had to adapt in recent times?
So obviously the last 18 months, the majority of the work has been done remotely. So thankfully we had Teams right at the beginning, and we became expert users of Teams. So there has still been interaction, but it has been difficult in some instances. So some clients haven't been set up, particularly we've been able to do remote working. Maybe they're still quite manual in terms of some of the support, which has proved difficult. But I think the biggest impact for me, again, comes back to our people. You know, we've got graduates who joined last summer who haven't actually physically met anybody sort of 15 months after they've joined. And how do you coach somebody? So whilst you can coach them through Teams, there's nothing better than sitting in a room, because you can help, you can spot much easier if someone's maybe thinking and struggling with something, because you can spot them staring into space. If you're on Teams, you've got to wait until they put their hand up and they ask a question, which is a much harder skill to do. So it's made it harder for then the people coaching our first years and our second years and on going up. And the other aspect that makes it challenging is not only the coaching piece, but you also learn from hearing the conversations in the room. So, you know, as a manager, I learned what the senior manager and the partner were talking about and what issues they were worried about. There's been less of that over the last 18 months because conversations have been happening a little bit more individually rather than as a team. So again, I think it's a huge opportunity to be moving back to sort of hybrid working and sharing a lot more amongst us.
Yeah, my reflections on the last 18 months, I'm an eternal optimist. So for me, there's parts of remote working that I think have been encouraging. I think it's demystified who people are outside of work a little bit more, and it's shown a bit more of the human element of both teams internally and also our client teams. You know, it's quite frequently now on a Teams you see a little one pop up or somebody's dog pop up, and I think that's nice actually, because we talk about bringing, you know, your authentic self to work. But previously, it was very easy to keep separate home and work and create, if you like, a bit of a barrier between the two. Whereas the last 18 months, because we have been forced, we've been kind of catapulted into a world where those two things have merged, meshed beyond belief, actually. I have enjoyed that side of getting to know both teams, client side and internally. That being said, I echo a lot of what Lorna said around the difficulties, the challenges of doing audit entirely in a remote setting. You know, take a really simple task for us of stock counts, inventory counts, where they have always been done in person historically. You know, you go to a manufacturing site, you count the stock, massive part of your audit done. We and our clients had to adapt incredibly quickly to that. You know, whether you had a GoPro on the head of somebody out at a client site walking around the warehouse, but how do you manage Wi-Fi access? What about if you've got steel plating in a certain part of the warehouse and then the signal dies? You know, I think it's transformed the way we do a lot of audits. But for me personally, there's nothing that can replace sitting in front of a client, you know, eye to eye, having an honest conversation and seeing body language reactions. On Teams, you only ever see kind of from the shoulders up. And I think there's a lot that belies just being sat in front of somebody and having those conversations and building those type of relationships with them.
We actually have had one or one of my clients personally, it's been a much success story actually working remotely, because actually what they did is agree that they would have a call sort of with the manager, assistant manager, every day of the order, first thing in the morning before anything got started. And almost by having that touch point formally agreed on Teams, meant they actually dealt with and then resolved a lot of queries on a very timely basis for us. Whereas actually when we've been on site, they would just say, pop up and see me. And then they were never there. So actually some of the, you know, the principles that we set, we actually want to be keeping going forward, you know, formalizing some of these touch points. And so I think the teams have very much developed very good ways of managing the process, which actually we also want to keep and learn from going forward.
I would totally agree. And I think obviously hybrid working is here to stay. So is there anything that you're using hybrid working on a day-to-day basis now? How is it going for you?
So I think it's very client-centric and team-centric. So it's getting the right mix for your client and for who is in your team and what works. And again, communication has to be key so that everyone's on board and understands what you're doing, rather than, you know, say the client thinking you're going to be on site and then not, or vice versa. So I have one client, the one I was just referring to, is they're actually looking to downsize their office and actually they don't want us on site. So we are then looking to work a few days in the office as a team to still get that team environment, and then a couple of days remote. And other clients, it's much more of a mix. But I think by giving people the option to do this, it gives everyone hopefully the best of both worlds. You know, especially you avoid maybe a couple of hours of travel, especially in the regions that can easily be, for some of the jobs, an hour commute both ways at the end of the day. So it saves that. It gives a bit more flexibility if people are working at home. Like we mentioned about, you know, I'm one of those people who ended up with a dog in COVID. So as the nights get darker, it enables me to flex my diary, maybe go for a walk before it gets too dark, and then switch back on and do some work after that. So I think there's much increased flexibility if you can balance both working on site.
And then Katie, if I could talk a bit about you with hybrid working, because you mentioned you have a four-year-old. How has hybrid working and having a four-year-old merged?
Yeah, I mean, I've done a lot of self-reflection actually over this last 18-month period around what does flexible working in general mean to me and my teams. I think if I'm honest, pre having Noah, I thought I worked pretty flexibly, but I'm not entirely sure how flexibly I did work. You know, I'm very transparent in my diary. I've got kind of nursery drop-off times held at the beginning of the day, although I share that with my husband. I always have bed and bath time for Noah held in my diary. And by and large, people are very, very respectful of that time. Although it raises the question to me, would I have put in a gym session pre having Noah? So what I am encouraging my teams to do is have open discussions about it. I think breaking some of that taboo that maybe there still was around, well, can I go to the gym? Can I go and do a football session? Absolutely. And I think, you know, back to my earlier point, the visibility that we have post-COVID of people's lives outside of work, I think is a real positive. And I know for one, balancing home and work is definitely a balancing act. But I think I get a better version of myself when both of those elements are a bit more kind of in balance with each other, and that I don't feel like they're conflicting, and that I am able to be transparent around the commitments that I have. And I hope, and I definitely do see this in reality, that that is becoming more prevalent across our teams going forward.
As we know, we have busy season and audit. Normal, for most people, that, you know, would be January through March because of December year ends. And I think it's a really good principle to have is at the beginning of each week, what are people's commitments? You know, so again, I have a child and you might want to see her play hockey, or you, again, commitments and picking up and dropping off. But also, as you say, I play badminton competitively. So I very clearly put in my diary those nights that I have a match and I need to, you know, I need to escape and go and do it. And obviously, trying to lead by example that this is what I'm doing, so everyone else should feel the same. And it shouldn't even just be sport. You know, people, if they want to go meet friends, they should they should be making sure that that balance is there. And then as a team, we're all agreeing that that works and keep ourselves to it. And that's what, again, you know, helps and makes an enjoyable thing to do.
Yeah, and I totally agree. You have both kind of touched upon the busy season and what that means. And I think hybrid working has really helped people that do work in audit, you know, balance that kind of life and not have to be in the office until late at night. Absolutely. And then if we go back to kind of all of these changes, all of these things that have adapted, what do you think are the key strengths that you've seen in your team and the strengths that you have to help you have a successful career in audit?
So for me, strengths, key characteristics of having a good career in audit, I touched on earlier, we are a people business, and having good interpersonal skills, I think, is fundamental. It's funny, I do lots of kind of career events, interview practice with the sixth form at the school I live at. And they always, their starting position for accountancy is always, gosh, you must be amazing at maths. And to demystify that, I actually think you have to be much better at, you know, interacting with individuals, having flexibility of style, understanding what makes people tick, being able to pick up on cues from individuals when they're stressed. You know, a big part of our job is about identifying material fraud. And understanding what motivates individuals and where their pressure points could be, that's what's fundamental. I also think, you know, you spoke about Verity busy season. A big part of our job is organisation, being able to prioritise workload. I think it's true probably for most people's careers. Your to-do list is never completely done, and that's okay. Being comfortable with that is fine, but being able to prioritize where the key areas are and the timing of when things need to be done is really important. I'd also just say, for anyone who's kind of embarking on a career in audit, it might feel, you know, initially when you're learning your double entry and you're going to college, you know, you might be feeling like, golly, this is an unknown. How do I get my head around all of that? Most of us have felt like that, probably more than once. Being able to put your hand up and ask for help and ask questions, be inquisitive. That's what makes this job really exciting and really fun. And just kind of leaning into it is probably the key strengths.
We tend to use the phrase, there's no silly questions, or, you know, there's no stupid questions. And I think that's really valid. So, you know, and that's with the client as well. If something doesn't seem right, ask another question. And we have to encourage, and that's what we really look for in you know, any of our team members. And that's all the way through, including ourselves. We need to keep asking questions. And again, you know, from being a first year to now, it's, again, asking, being able to put your hand up and ask for help even at our level, because we don't know all the answers. And it's, you know, it's a benefit of being part of something like EY, is that support's always there, and there's always someone that's willing to help us and support us.
Amazing. And I think it would be so, it's so pertinent that this podcast is called Fresh Perspectives, because when you've got new people coming in, they can highlight or see something from their perspective that may not have been seen before. So I think it gives that opportunity for them to you know, provide even more insights into the way we're doing things for clients. Would you agree?
I think that's spot on, Verity. You know, I said earlier, coaching development comes both ways, from senior people sharing their experiences of audit, professional services, etc., down. But gosh, do we continue to learn so much from graduates, experienced hires, school leavers who are coming in. Just to have a voice and be, you know, willing to share your perspectives, I think is really important. I absolutely agree with Lorna. There are no silly questions. And you would be surprised, actually, in terms of audit findings, how many audit findings come from junior team members saying, gosh, I'm not sure whether this is right. I don't know, because I don't know all the technical aspects. And you're like, no, that was spot on. That's exactly the question you should have asked. And just having the confidence to do that.
Amazing. And then I guess to close off today, what is next for your teams over the next 12 months? What have you got in store?
I think, well, as we've just said, so we're, you know, making hybrid work, hybrid working work across all teams. So I think that will exciting time, but there will be some challenges within it, you know, because some people have been at home for 18 months and have been very concerned and have their concerns about coming back. But I think it's an exciting place to be. We're looking at how we can start having much more social interaction. So previously we would have had quite a busy social calendar, which again, I think, you know, coming through my career has been one of the, you know, fun things that we always happened, which we haven't been able to do for 18 months. So looking at how we can start running events to get people involved from that aspect as well, I think it's also really exciting. And hopefully, like you said about, you know, first years coming in, school leavers, we can get some new and different events on the social calendar for everyone to look forward to attending.
Yeah, I agree, Lorna. And on top of that, I mean, we do have busy season fast approaching. So we'll be in kind of the depths of the audit, busy season of the year before we know it. Outside of that, though, I think there's some really exciting times coming. You know, we've got the Bayes consultation, which will redefine, I think, audit going forward. That's in the longer medium term. But be that, you know, experiences within different subservice lines of wider assurance, so environmental reporting, SOCs, and whatever guise that takes going forward. But also just what does growth in our business look like, especially in the regions? There is loads of investment happening in the Thames Valley at the moment. You know, we're a stone's throw away from Oxford and all the life science technology businesses. The next round of tendering for listed audits will soon be upon us as well. So I think a really, really exciting time for everybody, balanced with a return back to the office, which I, as I've already said, I'm massively looking forward to and I think will be great for everybody in our business.
One of the other exciting bits is we're welcoming sort of over across the country, over 100 level twos from all across Africa. On recruitment drives, there's a number of other people joining through our Elevate campaign. So really, really exciting 6 months in terms of getting them engaged and part of our teams.
Thank you. Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of growth happening in your teams. So lovely to talk to both of you today. I think it's been really, really insightful to learn about what you do, what's happening in audit, what audit does. And I think the listeners will be really happy with the kind of the ways of working that we've got within the world of audit. So thank you for chatting with me today. If you've been inspired by our conversation today and want to find out more about working in assurance at EY, head to our website at www.ey.com/UK/assurance. Thanks for listening and take care.